Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. On the programme this week, we'll have a rally special. We'll hear from recently crowned champions from Donegal, Junior British Rally Championship victor Eamon Kelly, British Academy Trophy champion Kyle McBride, and Joseph Kelly, Junior European Rally Trophy winner. On the Gaelic Games front, Liam Breen will run his eye over the quarterfinals of the Donegal Intermediate Championship, and Conor Gormley will look ahead to another All-Ireland final for the Tyrone Masters. But up first, we're going to look at League of Ireland football. And this week on our LOI chat, I've been speaking with former Finn Harps captain and current Drogheda United player Keith Cowan. Tomorrow Friday, Derry City will play Bohemians, while Drogheda, Keith's club, is up against St Patrick's Athletic. And then on Sunday, Finn Harps are off to the Tallaght Stadium to play the champions Shamrock Rovers. Keith, good to see you again. We're going to talk about Finn Harps and Derry City in a moment, but maybe Drogheda first of all, a loss last week at the hands of Sligo. Two defeats in your last three games in the league. The other one was to Finn Harps, a game that you weren't involved in. But in between that, you defeated Shells by 3-1. Shells currently sitting just 2 points off you guys, above you in the standings. Is that the target for the rest of the campaign, to try and overhaul them, Keith?
And as I see, you know, you're always trying to catch the team in front of you. We see Shells as being a realistic target. Unfortunately, last week we didn't really take our opportunity. You know, it would have been a chance to go above them in the league. We're disappointed with the performance. You know, we thought we had enough chances to win the game. You know, speaking to the manager afterwards, the Sligo manager, and he thought we should have won the game. You know, so that tells you something in itself. A disappointing performance from us. I don't think we did enough, I suppose, defensively. So, you know, in my department, that's kind of where I felt we were quite poor, conceding the goals, the manner that we did was disappointing. But, you know, this week again, look, we have a home game against Pats. Pats, I suppose, the informed team in the league, maybe not a great time to get them. But, look, we have to look at that game as a possibility of getting 3 points and, again, trying to move past Shelburne.
Yeah. Listen, your season could be coming to a very exciting end later in October, Keith, because the next time you meet Shells is at the end of the month, one of the closing ties. That could be the decisive game as to who finishes seventh in the standings. Will it be Drogheda or will it be Shells?
Yeah, all those games kind of sort of intermingle with the likes of Shells, Harps and UCD are kind of all near the end of the season. We play each other in that order for whatever reason that it's fallen. That's going to be a huge game I think for both our seasons. It's definitely going to be an opportunity for us to hopefully pull away from Harps where they are at the minute, and then obviously to try and maybe be ahead of Shells by that stage. That has to be our target. You know, they'll be looking over their shoulder. Yes, they've got two games in hand on us, but not that they will be taking anything for granted either. They're going to be looking, obviously, Sligo this weekend for an opportunity for them to get 3 points as well. They got a home game against Sligo.
Yeah, with 8 games to go, Keith, is your hardly still concerned about what's happening below you? Are you at Drogheda?
I think it's silly. Until it's mathematically impossible. You have to use that as a motivational thing. You know, as anything. Look, if we're going out every week and putting in performances, hopefully then we're picking up points. Look, you're always going to keep an eye, as I say, if it's mathematically possible, you're always going to keep an eye on what's happening below you. But, you know, our main focus is I suppose, pushing ahead and trying to get past Shelburne.
Yeah. Let's talk about Harps then. They've got a tie against Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. Without doubt, the top team in the country at the moment, their league position tells you that. They've got European competition as well. Harps in the past, as you know, Keith, you've put it up to Shamrock Rovers at times. How big a task is it to go to Tala once again and try and put it up to them at this stage of the season?
I think there's something different about Tala. I think every time that you go there, you know, you've got the nice stadium, you've got the great pitch. It's a great place to play football because, you know, as I say, the size of the pitch, the quality of the surface. Obviously, we know Shamrock Rovers are playing tonight against Djurgården in the Conference League. So they're going to obviously be putting everything into that. Then, you know, they'll have to think about what's happened in the league during the week with Dundalk, you know, getting those extra points off the, from Sligo playing an Ellswell player 2 weeks ago. So they're going to have to maybe put, you know, think, yes, obviously be thinking tonight that it's a massive task. Then, you know, Hearts coming up to them on Sunday, fighting for their lives, I suppose what they are. And they'll be, you know, they'll have that, you know, what, 4 or 5 days extra rest from the last time they played, haven't played Pats last Friday night, and being unlucky not to come away with something out of that game. Because yes, Pats started very well, went into a 2-goal lead, but once Hearts scored, you know, they very much put it up to Pats. This game, obviously, you know, as you mentioned, Ashton, you're playing Shamrock Rovers, you're playing the best team in the country, you're playing a team that has, you know, that can put out two different teams almost every week. But obviously, you know, tonight is going to be their main objective. They want to, you know, try and lay down a marker in the Conference League. They want to try and get off to a good start. You know, obviously, winning your home games, they're going to have ambitions in this competition too. They're not just going to be there to make the numbers. You know, they'll, you know, maybe think themselves unlucky not to be in the Europa League. But yeah, the Harps going up there. As you say, everyone raises their game when they go there. You know, you're playing against the champions. You know, it's the pinnacle of our league. So there's no reason why Hearts can't go there, be organised, be tough to break down, and, you know, maybe nick something. I think that's the way that they set up against Pats. You know, they were hitting them on the counter attack. They were dangerous. So I think the approach will be very similar once they go to Tala on Sunday.
Yeah, Ryan Rennie and Ryan Connolly, both coming back tonight back this weekend rather for Harps. Ollie Horgan will be back on the line as well. And I suppose from Ollie's point of view, it's important now for, as we head to the close of the season, that he has as many players available as possible if they're going to survive in this top flight.
Yeah, disappointed, I suppose. He'll be disappointed and Ryan will be disappointed about picking up those red cards. Look, it's not stuff that we want to see from management or from players, you know, picking up, you know, silly bookings and silly reds. It's almost become accustomed over the years. And, you know, I know the Harris faithful are, you know, seem a bit aggrieved that, you know, Ollie gets booked and his antics maybe on the line, you know, that he would maybe pay the price more than other managers would. And, you know, the officials come down hard on Harris players. Maybe there's something in that, who am I to say? But look,
did you feel that when you were playing with Harris, Keith?
Well, I'll tell you now, right? I haven't been suspended this year yet, right? And so I picked up 3 yellow cards in the first half of the season, which were cancelled out into the second. Okay, yeah. So I shouldn't amass, you know, a suspension through yellow cards, and I haven't received any red cards. So, and I was always good for a couple of suspensions when I was at Harps. You know, I remember having conversations with Ollie over the years, and he says, you know, well, you're going to miss one or two with suspensions. And I was like, Ollie, so are you. So, so we always were able to have that conversation. So, yeah, look.
Well, actually, are you still going on as hard in the tackle now as what you were when you were at Harps?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the first. Maybe I'm not able. Maybe I'm not able to make those tackles. And it was just a... But no, look, who am I to say with that there? Look, that's, you know, obviously referees, you know, have their own committees, and, you know, like I'm sure they talk amongst themselves, just like players do, just like managers do. So, look, I think that one, I'll leave that one for another day until maybe finish. I don't want to finish playing football to cast any aspersions on. Has anybody done anything against the Harps players or management?
Yeah, I see Ollie said in the Donegal News this week, there's never been a time where you could relax and think, yeah, we're going to be all right this year. Was that the case too when you were at Harps, Keith? You could never really relax when you were playing in Premier Division football?
No, never. You couldn't. You know, every game was massive. Every game was an opportunity to pick up maximum points or a point or whatever the case may be. You couldn't get too down after a defeat because... You know, you weren't going to be challenging for leagues. You know, if you got to the next round of a cup, that would have been a massive bonus. But and that's the reason why come Monday you sort of had to push the reset button and go again and try and keep spirits high, because if Harps are to survive this year, and you know they definitely have a good chance of doing that. You know, the whole camaraderie, the whole team spirit has to be high, and it's about, you know, that will definitely be a massive factor if they're to survive this year.
Yeah. Well, let's stay at the bottom of the table. UCD at the UCD Bowl hosting Dundalk on Friday night. As you mentioned, Dundalk getting the points this week. That'll be a big boost to the Lilywhites, and they'll be going in with an extra spring to their step then to play the Students. That's a game that you would expect them to win on the road.
Yeah, I suppose looking back at that game from, you know, the last few weeks where they haven't really deserved much, Dundalk, the way that they've had their approach to games and the way that they've actually put on a shift on that. So, yeah, that, obviously that gives you a boost. That's, three bonus points that you think you're not going to have. If they're thinking about challenging for the league, then they have to go there to UCD and they have to just be taking 3 points and, just do a professional job and get that done. UCD actually have impressed me over the last couple of weeks and over the course of the season where, the UCD team in the past, I suppose, Students, young lads, you suspect them to be a bit of a soft touch, play good football, play a really nice brand of football, are generally a sort of a feeder team or a feeder club for other, I think I remember one season where Shamrock Rovers took 3 or 4 players from the UCD team mid-season that have obviously finished their degrees. And that actually was key to Harp's survival that year because UCD just fell apart after that. I think they were ahead of us in the league. I think they were ahead of us by maybe 10 points or something like that, maybe 8 points. And then we were able to make that up because, their best players were gone. So that obviously being the case this year, you see what UCD have. They definitely put it up to teams, physically, their style of play. I said they are really impressive. So Dundalk will have to be on their game come Friday night if they're looking to get 3 points at UCD Bowl.
Yeah. Derry City will be annoyed that the points were awarded to Dundalk, and now the fact that the Lilywhites have gone back into second with that. Derry, yes, they do have a game in hand. Bohemians is the opposition, a tough opposition at that as well, Keith, but Derry having home advantage, and if they can get the men firing up top, it's a game that they're well capable of taking the 3 points on and keeping pace with Dundalk there.
Yeah, I think after last weekend, I think Derry kind of were thinking it was maybe a 2-horse race, just themselves and Shamrock Rovers. A convincing win, I suppose, at home, albeit, the team that's bottom of the league. Derry, I suppose, faltering maybe in weeks past there, where they maybe were thinking they would have been picking up 3 points. And, I think that, the last minute win away to Shells was give them a big kick really and sort of put them back into that position again where they could go on and win the league. And then, you see a bit of mind games maybe last week where, Higgins is saying that, it's Shamrock Rovers league to lose now, that famous line is said now and again. So kind of trying to put all the pressure back on Rovers. And look, I say that they put themselves in a great position. They've invested heavily again in the window and those players, Graham coming in and Diallo coming in and scoring in the last few games and, giving them that extra bounce that they want. Bowes last week, nobody would have expected them to win that game. Yes, a big derby, the big Dublin derby, but, they come out on the right side of it, losing their manager Keith Long that week and, maybe getting that bounce from from a new manager coming in. So they'll be hoping that that's still alive. Obviously going to Bramblewell, it's a really, really tough place to go and try and get anything. So, yeah, with Derry pushing to try and win the league now and, with Bowes and we're trying to revive their season and try and get something going with the last couple of weeks, and I think it'll be a tough game, but, you expect, I think Derry, with what they have and with what they've brought in, should win that game.
Yeah. The ideal scenario on Friday evening would be Drogheda taking points of St. Pat's at home and Sligo Rovers beating Shells in Dublin at Tulka Park.
That'd be great. That'd be great if you could sort that for me, actually. That would be 100%. I would take it. Difficult. All roads lead to Dublin this weekend. Gareth Brooks is there. You'll probably be going to that, I'm sure. I think for Sligo, after them losing the 3 points, being taken off them the week before after putting in a good performance against Dundalk, that'll be playing on their minds. They're sort of kind of in that limbo along with Bowes, where I would be surprised if they're really going to skip into the top four. They're not really going to be dragged into what's happening below. They've had the good season where they've been involved in Europe and got through a few rounds in that. So for them now, it'll be sort of a case of finishing out the season. Hopefully they'll be able to do us a favor by going and beating Shells. Obviously, they had their big win against Bonagie a few weeks ago in the Cup, did a professional job there. But, Duff seems to be, you know, he seems to be thinking that the whole league's against him and no one likes him. He's trying to create a bit of a siege mentality with him and his players. So that'll be, you know, that's what they'll be putting up to Sligo. But hopefully Sligo can maybe go and do a job there.
Well, we'll leave it at that, Keith. It's always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us and the best of luck at the weekend.
Cheers, Ashley. Good man. Thank you.
That's Keith Cowan speaking to me earlier today, looking at the games in the League of Ireland. And just to let you know, Shamrock Rovers against Harps, 7 o'clock Sunday evening. And we will have live updates on air from that one with Oisín Langan as from the 7 o'clock start on a Sunday. FAI Intermediate Cup on Saturday. Letterkenny Rovers taking on Bunnaggy United. It's the first round of the competition. Lakeview Park is the venue. 5 o'clock is the start time on Saturday to that. And it is another busy weekend on the junior front in the northwest, with games in the four areas of the Voodoo Venue Cup on Saturday afternoon, all starting at 1 o'clock. And then in the four areas of the Brian McCormick Cup, there is also a full programme of ties to be played as well. Not forgetting about Inishowen. The second round of matches in the new Premier Division season will be played on Sunday. There's also First Division and Second Division games also to take place. Now to Gaelic games. It's quarter-final weekend in the Donegal Intermediate Football Championship. Donegal play Niamh Mora on Saturday, and there's three games on Sunday. Termin face Red Hughes, Niamh Columba take on Buncrana, and Fanna Gaels are up against Downings. Former Intermediate winning manager with Glenfinn is Liam Breen, and he's been looking at those games with Highlands' Tom Comack.
Well, Liam, the die is cast. We're down to the quarterfinals of the Intermediate Championship, and I know when I spoke to you before, earlier in the Championship, you felt it was a very competitive Championship. Down to the final eight, any surprises, maybe other than Mallon not making it?
Yeah, I suppose Mallon going out is a surprise. Like, they didn't bring their league form into the Championship at all. Like, you know, I suppose, like, you would have expected Mallon to be in there in the last eight, but I suppose Red Hughes would be the surprise team that have made it. Like, you know, the other seven teams, you would have expected them to be there or thereabouts anyway. Like, you know, and like, there's four semi-final places up for grabs now, and there'll be no easy games in it. Like, you know, Mallon will be kicking themselves that they didn't bring their league form in. Like, you know, but at the same time, like, no, it was always going to be very competitive. Every year, the Intermediate is serious competitive. It's very hard to win it. Like, and very hard to get up to that senior football grade. Like, you know, so no, it's all up for grabs this weekend. Now, I see the first game. It's Niamh Mora against Dunloe, a local derby, and that's been played in O'Donnell Park, isn't it?
That's been played in O'Donnell Park on Saturday. So that's the very first of the game. It's the only game on Saturday. The other three, Gaelanada and Downings, is on Sunday in Dunfanaghy. And then you have a double header, Buncrana and Niamh Columba, and Termin and Red Hughes in O'Donnell Park on Sunday. So
on Sunday again, that first game will be very interesting, like, you know, because them two teams, Dunloe and Niamh Mora, played against each other in the last league game there, the last championship match, and that was played in Dunloe, and Niamh Mora ran them very close, and I think Dunloe might have got a goal at the very end to make a 6-point game, like, you know, but I think 6-point victory kind of flattered Dunloe. And Danny O'Donnell and his team, they'll be delighted to get them out of Dunloe and into an open pitch in O'Donnell Park, like, and they'll fancy their chances. They're very well set up in Niamh Mora. They've a very tight defence. They're not letting in many scores all year, so they'll give Dunloe all they want. Now, Dunloe would be one of the fancy teams. After being in the final last year, you'd expect them to kick on this year, like, you know, but a local derby, there'll be nothing easy there now.
Yeah, and Dunloe are this year without Ryan Connors, and he had a big season last year for them. He's in America,
He's over in America, like, they're missing him, like, you know. But now Dunloe have been going well all year. But like I say, like, Niamh Mora, they've regrouped, and they came up there from Division 3 up to Division 2. They've had a very good season. They've a lot of young players in there, like, you know, the two Dohertys, Fintan and Ferdy, the two Charlie's two sons in the back line, and young Owen Ward up front, like, you know. And then they still have a blend of experience with them. You have Heather McCafferty and Harry Harden in the forward line, and Brian Gillespie will be probably in there around the full back line. Like, so they have a good mixture, like, you know. So no, they're going well as well. So that'll be a very interesting fixture now on Saturday. So it's just a local derby. You don't know what way that'll go.
Yeah, and the next one then is actually that the big one, Bunclana and Neave Columba. That's the first of the games on Sunday in O'Donnell Park.
Yeah, that's a big one. They played each other as well the last day there, and Neave Columba beat Buncrana, and a lot of people are fancying Buncrana. Like, you know, the thing about that there, it's very hard to turn around and beat a team twice in the latter stages of the championship. I remember it happened ourselves before a couple of times against St Nolls and even against Neave Breed. It's very difficult the second day out after beating a team, trying to get a victory the second day. So Buncrana will be fancying their chances of overturning that, like, you know, but again, that's going to be a cracker of a game. Very little between the two sides, like a lot of good players on show there. Like, you know, Buncrana will still be looking to the likes of Keely McGonigal and John Campbell and Jigger, like, you know, but Glenn, they have the three McNairns, and they have Lanty Malloy there, and Finn Gallagher, and Aaron Doherty, like, you know, a lot of very good players, like, you know, very hard to call, but I think I'll give the edge to Buncrana to overturn that defeat. They'll have they'll have to come up with a plan, and I think they will have a plan, and I think just they might have an edge over Glenn the next day. It'll be hard for Glenn to get back up to that level and beat them a second time, I think.
And before we talk about the second game in O'Donnell Park, Termin, I know you fancy them maybe to win it outright, and Red Hughes, just going down to Dunfanaghy, Downing's, I suppose, you know, they've had a great season. They won the junior championship last year, had a great run in Ulster to the final, you know, won promotion to Division 1 for the first time in a long time. Had that sensational win over Mallon in the league final, you know, against Gaelanada, I suppose, local derby?
A local derby again. Yeah, that'll bring on, like, that'll bring in a life of itself to the game, but I still fancy Downing's to come through. They are an up-and-coming team, an awful lot of talented players in the forward line. Like, Lorcan Connor will be leading the attack for them, but you have the McGrottys as well there. A lot of good players, Alan Basoma's back there too. Like, you know, they have a great spine to their team. I think now the fact that it's even in Dunfanaghy would probably even suit Downing's a bit better. They'll be kind of a windy condition there. They're used to it there down in Downing's. Thanet, they're playing in Port Salon, it's a bit more sheltered. I think it'll probably suit Downing's a bit better, but you never know. And again, a local derby, but I think Downing's probably will have enough to come through there. Although Thanet have a lot of good young players there too, like Bernard McGettigan in around the middle, and young Sparky McAtee here up in the forward line. So it's hard to know, but I would give the edge to Downing's to come through there.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, Termin playing Red Hughes. Maybe Red Hughes, maybe a little surprise packet in the championship.
Yeah, Red Hughes probably are a surprise packet to be in the quarterfinals. Like, you know, Francie Martin's down with them. He'll have them well organised, like, he's an experienced manager. And they'll have Stephen McMenamin in there in the full back line, keeping them right. Like, you know, and they've Calvin Bradley up front, and a lot of other younger players there. They're a team I haven't seen very much of, Red Hughes, like, you know, but Francie will have them well geared. But I just think that Termin should be too strong for them. Like, you know, Termin, like, they've played a lot of senior football. They're used to playing in Division 1 against the top teams in the county. Like, you know, the last day, Darren McDade didn't play, and McCormick didn't play, so probably they'll have the two of them back. I know Stephen McMenamin will be probably picking up some one of them, but with the two of them, and then a lot of good young players that have come through from minor level there in the last year or two, they have a great up and coming young team in Termin. Like, and I fancied them from the start, but I still think they should have enough to get through that tie against Red Hughes.
And finally, Liam, looking forward, semi-final Sunday evening. Who do you think will be in it?
I think it'll be Termin, Buncrana, Dunlow, and Downing's. I think that's the four that I go with. Now, there will be, I think that the Dunlow-Neave game will be a tight game, and Glenn and Buncrana will be very close as well. But I think Downing should have too much for Fannett, and I think Termin will be too strong for Red Hughes.
That's Liam Breen in conversation with Tom Comack, looking at those intermediate quarter finals. And we will have reporters at those four matches for you this coming weekend. And if you missed it earlier in the week, our dedicated GAA programme, our dedicated GAA show and podcast, the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney, which is lots of talk on club football here in Donegal, is available to listen back to now in the playback section off our website, highlandradio.com. So it's another busy weekend in Donegal. It's also an extremely busy weekend in Derry with the latest group games being played in the Senior and Intermediate Football Championships. The action gets underway at senior level tomorrow night, Friday, with the Group B encounter of Ballanderry against Sloughnane. There's a further three games to come on Saturday and a further four to be played on Sunday as well. While in Tyrone, we're getting down to the closing stages of the leagues, and in particular Division 1, the senior semi-finals are on this coming Saturday in Trillick. Trillick will host Carrickmore, and in Killyclougher, Killyclougher playing host to Errigal Kearn in the two last four encounters. Just staying with Tyrone, and the Masters of the Red Hand County will take on Dublin once again in the Dr. McLoftis Cup final. It's on Saturday in Ballina and Cavan, throwing in at 4 o'clock. Tyrone reached a second successive decider against the Dubs thanks to a comprehensive semi-final win over Clare. Three-time All-Ireland winner and three-time All-Star Conor Gormley is one of the Tyrone players that's looking for a second All-Ireland Masters title.
Second final in a row, and coming off after winning it last year, we're really looking forward now to playing Dublin again, a repeat of last year. Now on Saturday in the final again, so it makes for an interesting game, but yeah, we're really looking forward to it. All-Ireland finals don't come around that often, so we'll have to try and make the most of it.
And tell me, have you got many of last year's team? I know Stevie O'Neill and Kieran Gourley were there last year, and they're there again this year. Is there anybody else?
That'll be the most of the boys have returned, yeah, definitely have. Like Stevie, as you mentioned, and Kieran are still there. We've drafted in Marty McGrath from Fermanagh as well, so he was eligible to play for us because Fermanagh don't have a over 40s team, so he's fit to play for Tyrone, you know, so he's a big of a big plus as well. But yeah, a lot of men back next year, and yeah, we're ready to defend the title.
And Dublin, one of the teams you won in the group stages, you won all your games really, six games, was it?
Yeah, so I won all our group games in the group stage of the Masters competition, so we're in good form going into it. Yeah, we played Dublin, but again, I think there was a few boys missing from Dublin team, as well as ourselves. We had a few missing that day as well, so it could be a bit of a change lineup come Saturday, but yeah, we played fairly well in the group stages, and again in the semi-final against a good Clare team, so we're in confident mood going into Saturday's game.
Yeah, and tell me, preparation wise, how has it been? Have you prepared much, or what was the training regime like? I know you're still playing club football, so you're in good enough shape.
Yes, the training regime would be sort of, we've been training twice a week. We're sort of on a Wednesday, we get the use of Girvahi, the Tyrone Girvahi Centre. We use of it on Wednesday, and then we get use of club facilities on a Saturday in Killyclougher. So we're very appreciative of them giving us facilities, you know. So we train sort of twice a week there, and the training has been very good, taken by Damien Leonard. He's part of the management team, and his training has been excellent. It's been very sharp. It's been a lot of game-based stuff, and that's improved well when it come to game situations or game time, that everybody's going very well, and the training then has been brought forward to the games, and you know, everybody's fit and healthy and looking forward to Saturday, as I say.
Yeah, I was at the Shield final last Saturday down in Colony. Donegal beat Galway. Yeah, might be that many scores, but still pretty competitive.
Oh, definitely is a serious competitive. We played Donegal in the group stage well up in Donegal Convoy, and Donegal was a serious competitive game, and you know, the standard is very, very good. You know, sometimes I think people think there's a wee bit of this over 40s is a bit of an early kick around for boys that are retired, but as far from that, it's taken very, very serious. As I said, our training is top notch, and then the games, some of the games have been top notch as well, you know. So it's, boys take it very, very serious, even though they're in their twilight of the career, but everybody wants to win. Once you pull on that jersey and cross the white line onto the pitch, everybody wants to win the game, no matter what competition it is, you know. So it's good that boys have that sort of hunger and desire to go out and prove that they can still compete at a high level.
And of course, you're probably one of the younger members in the team, I suppose, as well. Those guys tend to, well, hold central positions, and I know from last week, certainly they had the legs maybe at the end when the others hadn't.
Bobby was drafted in late last year, and just will be turning 42 now in October time, so I may be sort of new and fresh, and there's still a few older hands still playing about there, like Liam Patterson and Brian McCallion, two stalwart from their club in Drumquin, playing away this Longrum years over 40s, and the likes of Donal McAnallan as well playing, you know, so boys that have really, really down through the years give good service to their club, so, and they're doing it now for the over 40s and the Masters, which is great to see, you know.
As you said, you beat Dublin in last year's final, and you've had many good happy days against Dublin, mostly happy days.
I have had a few happy days down through the years, definitely, but an odd bad one as well too, you know, so come Saturday, we can't take nothing for granted. We know what Dublin's like after playing them last year in the final with a serious competitive game, and as I say, we played them in the group stages this year, so it's going to be a highly competitive game, and I'd imagine it's a game that both teams look forward to, you know, Dublin about to maybe get us back maybe after last year, so but hey, we'll concentrate on ourselves and get ourselves right and look forward to the challenge what Dublin bring.
You mentioned Damien Leonard is manager there again this year, and obviously the Leonard family and Joe have put a lot into Masters football down the years and probably kept it going.
I was out of doubt, and then you can add in Eugene Bradley as well there, the whole lot of them keep the thing going, and they do a serious amount of work in the background, you know, a lot of, it's probably self-funded, the Masters, a lot of hard work goes in getting sponsorship and a lot of things that don't be seen, a lot of phone calls and a lot of meetings and stuff to get organised, and you know, fair play to them putting in serious time, serious effort to get it where the Masters is and get their own where they are, you know, and it's credit to them, and I'll say hopefully that effort will be rewarded on Saturday with a victory.
That's Conor Gormley, who's very excited about heading into another All-Ireland final. Wouldn't be a bad career to date with three All-Irelands, three All-Stars and two Masters All-Ireland titles as well, but they're going to have to get over the dubs to get their second one at Masters level this coming weekend. Now, to ladies football, it's going to be an action-packed championship weekend as well. Intermediate quarter-finals taking place. Eirua Ballyshannon to go on Robert Emmett's. The Mura Lower Rosses play Milford. Ardrar up against Cairn Donagh, and Fanna Gaels will play Convoy. There's also Junior A and Junior B semi-finals to be played at championship level as well, with Shield games also taking place. Now to motorsport, three Donegal drivers secured championship titles last weekend at the British Rally Championship round in Wales. In a Highland Rally special, I've been speaking to the three winners, Eamon Kelly, Kyle McBride and Joseph Kelly. Eamon won the junior British title in his Fiesta, Kyle wrapped up the British Academy trophy and Joseph sealed the ERT Celtic trophy. First up, Eamon Kelly, who told me he had lots of inspiration from previous winners to go all out and chase the title in 2022.
Been smiling since Sunday. So, Oisin, thanks for having me. It's great to be on a show once again. So I was on just before the Donegal Rally last, but yeah, at least I have something to smile about this time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's great.
Well, listen, last year you finished second in the junior championship. So obviously this was a category that you wanted to win, because it's a prestigious category as well in the motorsport circles, Eamon.
Yeah, the British Championship, it's been renowned for years. It's one of the top championships in Europe, if not the world. You know, it's such a hot pace over there, and for junior rallying and front wheel drive cars, it's just, you know, it is next level. There's a huge pace and always, you know, top class competition. So to go over there and compete at the top, you really do need to be on your A game. And we always said that's where we wanted to be, and it's a championship that we wanted to do. And I always said I admired people who've won this championship in the past, and there's been a very strong trend of Irish domination over there too. So I suppose as a young Irish driver, it's quite inspiring seeing a lot of the lads going over there and doing well. So naturally you want to be part of that, and that was the inspiration to go there. And yeah, we went there last year for the first time to compete with, I suppose, relatively less experience than a lot of the other guys, and we just kind of took it in our stride, and you know, we planned as we went along and we learned, and you know, last year we ended up having a better year than we expected. We came second and the title actually went down to the wire, and we narrowly missed out. But yeah, heading into this year, we said it had to be our year, and we put a plan together, and thankfully it came good. We had a very successful year and claimed the title with two rounds to spare.
Yeah, which is very impressive driving. And you sort of took a grip of the championship, did you, after the Nicky Grisk?
We've always, I suppose, consistency was my main, my main accolade, I guess. We'd never finished outside the top the top two. So, you know, from the get-go, it was strong finishes. And, yeah, after the, I suppose we got a win in the second round in the Jim Clark. And I also played my Joker card, which is a card you can play on a selected round that allows you to gain up to 5 extra points if you win. And I played that in May in the Jim Clark and got an extra 5 points, which was a huge bonus, and then gathered wins in the Grampian Rally and then at the Rally in Wales at the weekend, which ultimately left us untouchable in the championship. So, yeah, it's, you know, points make prizes, and thankfully we got a lot of them, and it really paid off for us.
Well, your prize for winning the junior championship is a supported drive now in the World Rally Championship round in 2023. Do you get to pick the round in the Hyundai, or does somebody else pick it for you, Eamon?
As far as I know, I get to pick, but I asked about that last night, so we'll see. I still need to gather a few details about it, but as far as I know, I get to choose.
Would you like to go?
Listen, I'm not too fussy. I'll go anywhere. Yeah.
Finland would be nice.
Where?
Finland.
Finland would be mad, yeah. It's I've done a bit of driving there before in January, and it's definitely a different style. It's absolutely crazy, but any of them World Rally rounds are unbelievable. Even the likes of Monte Carlo or Spain, iconic events. That you know, you go to as a spectator and you think it's super special to even be there to watch. So to think that we can possibly be there to compete next year is it's mind-blowing and hasn't really sunk in yet, to be honest, Oisin, but I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, we're going to have a sit down and really think about what the most beneficial round is to choose and, you know, carefully think about it. But no matter what it is, it's going to be an unbelievable experience, no doubt.
Certainly will be. Just looking further on down the line, where does Eamon Kelly want to be in the motorsport circles in 5 or 10 years' time, Eamon?
I would see. We're kind of, you know, it's hard to say because it's such a grueling sport in terms of, you know, your career path and where you want to go with it. You know, it's very, very tough to say, you know, where you will be. I'm really enjoying my rallying. It's a pastime and I enjoy every single bit of it, at the same time putting in as much effort as possible. You know, our plans next year is to step up into a four-wheel drive R5 machinery and hopefully tackle some rounds of a British championship or an Irish championship, and then possibly some stuff abroad, but we'll see. So for now, that's my plan, is to take it up a step in terms of machinery. But yeah, it's very hard to say for the future. You know, we're kind of trying to take it as it comes and just enjoy it along the way.
Okay, well, we look forward to see where your career goes, Eamon. And we wish you all the best in the future. And once again, many congratulations on your brilliant success in the British Championship last week.
No problem, Oisin. Thanks very much for having me.
So, Kyle, good to see you. Obviously, a hugely successful weekend on the rally in front for you. It's nice to win a championship, isn't it?
Oh, that's great, Oisin. It's been a tricky weekend there over in Wales. Now we're happy to get through and get to the finish line. And yeah, we wrapped up the Academy Trophy Cup and the BRC. So no, it was a great weekend. So it was.
Yeah, huge effort, I'm sure, by you and obviously all those involved and the team, because it's a big commitment. So it is, Kyle.
Oh, definitely, for sure. Like it's a lot of work to get over to an event like that, and not only the event to do it throughout the year. Like, a huge thanks has to go to all my sponsors and all the people who's helped me to get over there, to do what I'm doing at the minute. Like, it's been a privilege to do it, you know, and it's been very good so far.
Yeah, was it tough going the championship? Tell us about your campaign.
Yeah, it was with a bit of bad luck at the start of the year, with the car, a few mechanical issues. Like, but no, whenever we got the car sorted and we got everything sorted, you know, we're good to go and we're happy with our pace throughout the year. You know, it's been really, really good year so far. We did the championship over in the Academy Trophy in the BRC, and we're doing the Motorsport Ireland Dual Surface Championship in Ireland. Like, so it's been a very busy year there within the last 4 weeks with 3 events, you know. So now it's been very busy, but it's good to be very active, you know. Like, whenever we are in Wales there at the weekend, we're just fresh from Galway summer. Like, so now it's great to be coming out of one event, you know, so fresh and straight into another. Like, it's good for your pace and for building your pace and moving on for progressing. Like, it's good to have.
Yeah. Are you still in contention in the other championships as well, Kel?
Yeah, we're it's very tight. This is gonna go down to the last round and the Donegal Harvest. So it's we're sitting currently, we're leading it, you know, but when the draft scores come into play, it's a bit all over the place. But no, it's gonna go down to the last round and it's gonna be a hell of a race once again. So no, I'm really looking forward to get going, and it's only 4 or 5 more weeks to go, so no, can't wait.
You haven't been rallying for too long, have you?
No, well, I've started off in the J1000 since I was 15, you know. So, no, we're at it now a few years, you know, but we've moved up a lot, so we're happy. We're happy enough.
Yeah, I see you're involved with the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy. You're wearing the T-shirt today. Tell us about that and how did that come about for you? Because it's important to know for you to be part of it.
Oh, it's a huge thing for me to be in. You know, it's an academy team in Ireland they pick drivers out of Ireland, you know. I got selected into it from winning the J1000s back in 2019. So it's a full year you're with them, and they definitely, hats off to them. They're putting a huge effort in. The work they put in is mental to try and push all the drivers on and take that next step to see where we can find that extra bit of time, you know. And it's all learning to me, and it's great to be part of, you know. But no, it's great to be in, you know.
Yeah, hugely beneficial. Maybe we'll just go back to Sunday again. Obviously, coming over the finish ramp, great celebrations with you and your team. Moments like that when you're into the sport at a very young age, things that you dream of.
Definitely, Oshin, 100%. Like you dream of these things when you're young, and whenever they come true, like it is, it's mental. Like it's hard to take in at the time, but no, it's great to get across the finish ramp. Now it was a long weekend, and the stages over in Wales are extremely tricky, you know. And definitely to get through them all with no major hassle, it was great.
Yeah. And a couple of men's been keeping you right this year, Kay?
Oh, definitely. I'd fair play to Darren on the notes there. He did a good job all year. And I had a few other lads at the start of the year, you know, helped me out, you know. And hats off, I have to go to all people around me, you know, to get where I got, you know. And no, hopefully I see him again for next year.
Yeah, well, what is next then for you? Because in a rally special this week, we're speaking to yourself, and we're also going to be speaking to Joseph Kelly, who won the ERT trophy, and Eamon Kelly, who's British junior champion as well. So you're the academy winner. What's the next step for you, Kyle?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to next year. I'd say, well, we secured the championship this year in the academy trophy, and the prize for that was free entries for the junior BRC, that's the one that Eamon won. So obviously our plan would be to go back over now and to compete on that, but we have to upgrade our car to a Rally 4 car if we're to do that. So we're going to try and upgrade the car and go over and compete in the junior BRC, all going well.
Yeah, okay. And if I was to ask you a question, where would you like to be in your motorsport career 5, 10 years down the line, Kyle? Where would you like to be?
Well, you always have to look as far forward as you can, you know. We all want to be like in the world rally car someday, you know, but you never know. It's, you just have to dream it, and you never know.
Yeah. Would one in Donegal International be a dream too for you?
Definitely. You never know. So there's plenty of dreams. So yeah, Donegal, one in Donegal would be mental, you know, but yeah, you never know.
Well, listen, you keep dreaming and keep the heart up, the hard work up as well. Kyle, you're doing a fantastic job. You're off to a great start in your young motorsport career. We wish you every success in the future, and many congratulations again on your Academy Trophy win.
Thank you, Oshin. Thanks for having me. Hey.
Next up from Mount Charles, Joseph Kelly. Joseph, you're welcome to the studios of Highland.
Thanks, Oshin.
Celtic Trophy winner on the European Rally Trophy. Brilliant achievement.
It's good to get a championship like that. I suppose it's not every day you get something. So yeah, glad to come home out of Wales with something.
Yeah. Listen, you're only a young man. How long have you been at this rallying?
In 2019 I started. So
yeah.
Not at it quite long, I suppose, but take 2 years out of it for COVID.
Yeah, there hasn't been too many months of rallying.
No, it's been a busy year or two since I got.
Well, I suppose that then shows just how much effort you put in over the course of the last year to win this Celtic Trophy.
Not just me. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, you know, as well. They put in an awful lot of work to it, and getting cars ready and getting booking stuff. And you know, it's not just as simple as turning up. Like,
what car are you driving at the moment? The Peugeot last year.
It's the Peugeot again. The Rally 4 Peugeot. Yeah, it's a great week car. So. We're happy enough with it.
Yeah, and man and machine working in tandem.
Aye, two men and machine running there, sitting on me from Armagh at the minute too. Two of us are doing a good job, and we're gelling well in the car.
Yeah, has Ronan won the co-driver side of the Celtic Trophy?
No, he hasn't actually. I don't know what way the stands is with the co-drivers. Right. I think it could be Grace O'Brien, I think, has won that. But
okay. And is there still a couple of rounds left?
No, Ceredigion in there was the last round. There was four rounds in total. I think three of them were in Ireland, one in the Isle of Man, one in Wales, or five rounds.
Right. So what was your performances like through each round?
We had a good enough start of the year. Started in the Circuit of Ireland, and we just kept steady. You know, we didn't actually win a round of it all year, but steady progress all years kept us going third, second, and third places. So
yeah,
we're happy enough with that.
Were you expecting to win it this year? Was that what you were at the start of the year when you were going
to
it?
To be honest with you, we'd started out of the year doing the Irish Tarmac Championship, and a lot of the rounds tie in together. There might be like Donegal here's a round of it, and there's five or six rallies, you know, around the country. I think they all tie into it. And we came out of Ulster 2-3 weeks ago now, you know, and we said we didn't get the Irish Tarmac Championship, but we said we're in a chance with this if we go to Ceredigion. So we went and we ended up coming home with it. So.
Yeah. What was your performance like in Donegal this year?
Donegal was on the Friday in Donegal, we were actually very sluggish in the morning time, and just to get wakened up, and the stages in the morning they were quite greasy and wet and that. But yeah, it set us back for a wee while, but we got going then again. Just enjoyed it. It was my first time doing it and loved every second of it.
Is that one you want to win?
Well,
down the line.
Hopefully, if the opportunity arises, yeah.
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want out of motorsport?
I like to push out. Like, it's obviously it's great to get the opportunity to do it so young, and you know, to get these opportunities to go away across the water and stuff. Listen, if we can just keep logging away the way we're going at the minute, hopefully it mightn't turn out too bad.
Yeah, we've seen the likes of Kyle winning the Academy Trophy, and Eamon as well taking the Junior British Rally Championship. Is that the next step up for you?
Yeah, hopefully we're going to evaluate now in the next couple of weeks what to do next year. We'll probably do the harvest to wind the year off, and we'll evaluate next year then where to go. Obviously, the two lads have done very well all year over in the UK as well, Eamon and Kyle, so fair play to them.
Yeah, it's a big challenge over there. It's a different sort of challenge. It's mixed surface. It's not like Ireland here.
We last year during COVID, we went over there for a couple of rallies and did this, you know, the bit of gravel, a bit of tar, and you know, we thought it's a really good championship. Definitely a different challenge to here with the gravel involved, and you're swapping cars and changing, and it's a great challenge, and hopefully we'll get the chance to do it again.
Yeah. Do you prefer the tarmac, buddy?
I don't know what I'd say. Yeah. I do like both. The gravel's good fun, but the tarmac too, at home especially here, it's on our doorstep. Like, it's the great stages. So.
I see Eamon's won a round in a Rally 2 car in the World Championship.
That's right, yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That's
obviously great for Eamon to get it. It'd be a lovely prize, in fairness.
Yeah. Who was your heroes just finally then? Joe,
my heroes. I suppose a lot of the local boys. Obviously Manus would have been there too. You know, would have known him quite well, and would have been out testing with him and stuff. And like Sedona as well, Eamon's father, and just a lot of the local boys. You know, I would have had an opportunity to be around and see what they were doing. And it's nice now to be able to maybe come up the ranks and get to where they were. Maybe.
Yeah. Ask the two boys where they would like to be in 5-10 years' time in the motorsport career. Where would you like to be, Joe?
Jesus, that's a tough one.
Still on the road anyway.
Still in one piece. Listen, it'd be nice to be moving up in the ranks, maybe going to European levels and that. But listen, we'll take it one year at a time and see how it goes.
Okay. Well, listen, congratulations again on your success in the Celtic Trophy. Very much deserved. And all we can do is wish you all the best in the future in your motorsport career.
Thank you, Oisin.
As Joseph Kelly ending that rally special, you can watch all those interviews in full, available now, of course, in the sports section and the playback section off our website, highlandradio.com. Just finally this evening, touching on rugby fixtures for this weekend, OMA are still looking for their first win in Premiership 2. They're taking on Belfast Harlequins on Saturday, while City of Derry are looking for their second win in 3 games in Championship 1 as they play host to Ballyclare. And in Ulster Championship 3, Letterkenny are looking for their third win on the bounce as they take on Newry. And that is it from another edition of The Score. Hope you enjoyed the programme. Next Sport here in Highland is, as usual, tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of it, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.